is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. If I rented, I would put Crisco on all the doorknobs if an Eagle fan tries to rent my house. Did you see the cops in Philadelphia Crisco'd up the light poles?
Oh, so is that what they did?
So they couldn't climb up there.
Burn everything
down. Instead, they just burn cars in the streets.
These are wins. This after a win.
Yeah.
It's the same way a Big Ten fan is also burn everything to the ground.
When I was in Chicago and the Bulls were winning, Scottie Pippen and, hey, everybody, if we win the championship tonight, can we please not destroy the city? Can we just celebrate peacefully and not destroy everything? That'd be great. Thanks. Yeah. No. Up in the north, I don't believe that's happening in Boston, but aren't they? We were talking about this yesterday because a buddy of mine sells tickets, Super Bowl tickets, and he goes up to the game and he really wanted Minnesota in it because that would have driven the ticket price way up if Minnesota was playing at home, because you don't have to buy a plane ticket. You don't have to buy a hotel. Yeah. You'll pay more for that ticket to go to the game.
Plus, there's Case.
There's Case.
So the Keenumites would have all fired.
Everybody from Houston would have gone up.
A.J. Hoffman would have been there.
No, A.J. was so happy that Case only scored 7 points. AJ was thrilled with the outcome. He had, oh, look, the pumpkin is getting put in. He put a pumpkin head on. Case had a great year. A great year. I mean, how are you going to take that away from him? And, oh, by the way, I still believe that Case could win. It was Case's fault that the tight end whiffed on Derek Barnett. And he fumbled the ball, or that he got hit. He said he was throwing, and he threw the pick six.
I didn't think Case looked like he was in command of the game.
He wasn't in
command.
The first drive, he was.
It looked big. Yeah,
he looked great.
After that, it looked too big for him.
Yeah.
It looked too big for the Vikings.
No.
What about that defense
giving up all that to Nick Foles?
They didn't have a running game.
No.
They really need a running game. I wondered when this would catch up with them, when McKinnon Ball was going to.
And then, I thought Jerick McKinnon ran hard, though.
He ran hard. He's just not a guy, and they do have Dalvin Cook,
yeah.
You know, so it's not like they didn't address it.
Done for the season, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he did have durability issues in college as well.
Yeah, so?
Shoulder issues. Now he's just added a knee. I think it's second time his knee's been an issue in his career. So I'm sure everything.
Yeah, they could have used him, I think.
I feel like they could have. You take a little bit of pressure. On the road, you need running game to win on the road. You do. You mentioned Fournette in the other game. Fournette had his moments, but Fournette needs to, like, you were controlling the pace for a while of that game. You have to do that.
Well, I thought in the second half, did you see how many tackles the safeties were making at the line of scrimmage?
Oh, they just said
Bortles beat us. You know what? You got a 4-point lead. Let's see if Blake Bortles, and they still continued to run the ball, and there was nowhere for Fournette to go. There was just nowhere to go. The safeties were up in the box, and they were making all these plays. And there was just nowhere to go. And I thought Hackett just got, he just was scared to let Blake Bortles go. Mm-hmm. He just was.
Yep.
I don't know if I can blame him either. I mean, he watched Blake Bortles. Nobody's seen more Blake Bortles than Nathaniel Hackett all year long.
Right.
But in that situation, you know what? Bortles was, in the first half, they weren't scared of it in the first half. They got awful scared of it in the second half.
Yeah. And that's how they played. But it's not the first team. There's a lot of teams who play scared.
Yeah.
I mean, historically, especially on the road, that's actually, frankly, the norm. Road team gets up. Road team hangs on for dear life. We saw it for years with the Oilers. It's pretty normal that teams just get scared. Teams with much better quarterbacks than Blake Bortles have played scared. Coordinators start coaching scared. There's a fine line between smart and scared.
Well, right. I mean, but if you got a 4-point lead, oh, well, we better run the football and let's try to run the clock and hopefully our defense, not against Tom Brady. You got to keep on attack. I thought their game plan in the first half was awesome. And in the second half, I mean, but we have, you're right, we've seen it. We saw it in the national championship game with Georgia. We saw it in Oklahoma against Georgia. He got scared at the end and conservative, and what happens? Mm-hmm. You lose the football game.
But I do think there is something to be said for being smart. Like, you don't just want to be a riverboat gambler all the time. It's a lot of times being conservative works out when you win, and you say, they just played smart football.
Yeah.
And when you lose, it's like, you're scared.
Until you have to keep kicking the ball back to New England, and Tom Brady eventually is going to take care of that business.
At some point, you have to try to rip somebody's throat out. Tom Brady's. You can't just hope the snake dies. You guys cut the snake's head off. Because the snake's not just going to die. The serpent, which is the Patriots, they are Satan's serpent. They are going to continue to live and continue to strangle the life out of you until you take a garden hoe and you rake its head off in the fourth quarter, and you don't let it back in. And there's Tom Brady. What player are we going to run, Tommy? Throw it down the sideline, get a penalty. All right. Don't worry. Tom, you think they'll call it?
Well, of course they'll call it.
It's Bortles. Super Bowl. Yeah, they're going to call this.
How do you stop Nick Foles' slant? How do you stop the Alshon Jeffrey slant? Which,
I like to call the that play the Malcolm action, Butler.
The play action and the slant. I mean,
inside
that big
leverage.
Dude, you know what? I'm going to take that big dude fighting for the ball.
What about a big dude 87? Ooh, I wonder what the concussion protocol will look like on the ground.
Oh, stop.
No, everything appears to be fine. I was shocked the Gronk didn't get back in the game.
Right.
I was like, ooh, this concussion protocol is real.
Somebody on Twitter said they were hunting for the head. And you know what? Oh, well.
Ask
and they
yourself
got it.
That.
That's how the Chiefs lost. They lost Travis Kelce. And you know what? If they would have beaten, the only way to beat Tom Brady is to get Gronk out of the game.
Let's see. Do we want to play this game, how the sausage is made game? Because people aren't going to be comfortable with it. Would you trade a 15-yard penalty for knocking Gronk out of the game?
Hell yeah.
Are you kidding? I said to Mara, she goes, don't say that. That's terrible. I'm like, what do you mean it's terrible? It's real. You got a chance to knock a guy like Gronk
for
out?
For 15 yards?
That's not, you want to win the game with a, no. Hey. Every single Jacksonville player and coach was happy Gronk was out. And they would have all, to a man, traded a 15-yard penalty for a better chance to win a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Why would you not? And if you think about that moving forward, every chance teams get defensively is going to potentially become a,
What about trading your car in for money? That's what John Clay Wolf does every single day. He gives you money for that trade-in, for whatever it is, whatever kind of car it is, John Clay Wolf will give you money for it right now at GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf joining us here. What's up, John Clay?
Oh, my God. Did y'all hear that segue, everybody?
How about that? That's like a pro.
Talking about trading football players, hey, what about trading your car in?
How about that?
Dude, I'm blown away. I don't know if I can respond.
Well, I think you'll be able to. How was your show Saturday?
It was fun. We had I kind of judge it off of phone call count and website hits just to figure how many. And podcast pull downs. You can get the podcast at johnclaywolf.com if anybody doesn't know what the hell we're talking about and wants to give it a whirl. It was good. We had, 1,000 podcasts by five and about the second highest phone volume we've ever had. So that's good. And just cutting up, having a good time. It's springtime, so see the car prices go up this time of year because the tax rebate checks from the IRS. And it drives the entire market up just a little bit. So there's cars that I would have been giving $10,000 for a month ago that we'll give $11,000 for now. And, $30,000 a month ago, and we'll give $32,000 now. I know it sounds weird, but it's just true. And like Corvette, sports cars, the stuff that people are going to start thinking about in the springtime, we start paying more for now. RVs, motorcycles, we pay more for those now. We buy those at GiveMeTheVIN.com. But, yes, I never thought I would hope the Philadelphia Eagles to win anything, but I do hope that they beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. That's really all I got.
I think that's a lot of people's thoughts. GiveMeTheVIN.com. This is a great time to trade in because you're getting more money for it. That's what John Clay Wolf just said right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Time for the three. I told Lance he had 40 seconds. He still decided to leave. Until he comes back, the three just features John. And the three is just three questions from the weekend, at least that I developed from over the weekend, and get the guy's thoughts on them. And with no Lance, it'll just be John giving his thoughts. The Patriots are losing both coordinators as Tony Romo stumbled through at the end of the game, telling everyone that neither one would be back. Turns out, yeah, they'll be there for the Super Bowl, Tony, but neither one will be coaching another game in New England for the Patriots. One with the Lions, Patricia, one to the Colts, and McDaniels. 5 years from now, will both still be there in their respective positions? Will none be there? Or pick the one that will be there in terms of Lions, Colts, which one will have the most success? Patricia or McDaniels?
Since this is Patricia's first stint, and Josh said he made the mistakes that he made was because he was an a-hole. And he thought he was supposed to be an a-hole because he worked for Bill Belichick. Maybe he learned something. I think that it's going to be easier the second time around. I don't know who's... You obviously trust...
I think it's pretty hard, though, because a lot of times, I think defensive coordinators... I think a lot of the Colts' success rests on the health of Andrew Luck's shoulder. You know, to me, I think Patricia has got some players defensively.
But will you ever win with Matthew Stafford? Big? I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't think you just get fired that quick.
You know what? They aren't that bad. I think Jim Caldwell just got fired because he's Jim Caldwell.
Yeah, I think I'd go Patricia, actually.
You will?
Yeah, I think Patricia. Because Ballard's contract could be coming up at about the same time, like after about 3 years. Ballard will have a year left.
Do you trust Ballard to get good football players for him?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do, but if your quarterback isn't healthy, sometimes it isn't going to matter. This division is starting to turn into a little bit of a tricky division, potentially, if the Titans keep building and if the Texans can build.
Well, let's not forget, though, Aaron Rodgers is coming back.
He's older.
And the Vikings are a good football team.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers now is what?
Yeah, but
34, 35?
He's still got 4 or 5 good years left, at least.
Yeah, but
Brady's 40, playing some of his best football.
Yeah, that's Brady. That's the outlier. That's like saying everyone's Nolan Ryan and can keep doing it. It's pretty hard. Drew Brees is, too. Yeah. People forget Drew Brees is 39.
And does Rodgers seem like an old 34, though?
No, he doesn't. But I don't know that they're putting, like, I don't feel like Ted did a very good job the last 3 or 4 years.
That said, you don't know if Andrew Luck is going to be okay. I don't know if Mariota's a player. We'll find out. And yeah. And Jacksonville needs a quarterback. I'm sorry, they still need a quarterback. I'm going to go, both of them will not be there, but I'm going to bet on...
5 years?
On McDaniels. I'm going to bet on McDaniels.
I'm going to go Patricia.
Okay.
The Rockets had a pretty interesting week. They started off the week really losing to the Clippers and then trying to get into a locker room. They ended it with beating the Warriors at home. Which of those situations is more indicative of what the Rockets are? A team who may be a little... less mature than you'd like, or the team who's capable of pushing the champions in a series? Which one do you think is the more likely scenario?
That is a very interesting question. So it's closer if it's 49% this way and 51%.
You can give a percentage if you like, but which one do you think it is closer to who they actually are? The team who does what they did against the Clippers
show me different in a big playoff series, until they show me different, I'm going to say the one that went to the locker room.
I'm going to go the other way, but it is close. It's tough because I feel like Chris Paul's veteran presence sways it. I don't know
you
how much he's involved.
He didn't sway it this weekend against the Clippers, this last weekend against the Clippers.
No, but he did against the Warriors, though, with his 33. And so,
but he led both charges.
No, he just – did you hear what Josh Smith said? He goes, there's no secret tunnel. I was laughing about that. He goes, there's not a secret tunnel. He goes, I played for both those teams.
No, there's just a back way. We just made that up, that it was a secret tunnel.
Well, no, even the secret back way, he goes, It's just a hallway. Yeah. Everyone knows about it. There's nothing secret. Chris Paul didn't have to alert the Rockets.
Well, but the Rockets wouldn't have known about it, how to get to the back
door. Josh said, from what Josh Smith said, everyone knows about it. It's just a hallway.
Right.
It's like nothing. People made it out to be like some kind of, you know, passageway that you have to be there to really know about this. He's like, it's just there. You just walk in it. He said it's not
right.
It's not hard.
But unless you know that's the back door. Neither here nor there.
Right.
But, yeah, well, we just made that up that they had spoons and ice picks.
Yeah, obviously.
Right. So I don't – you think it's the championship? I think it's a 50-50 call, Dell, but I'm going to swing. Until they play a hell of a lot better in the postseason, I'm going to go towards the tunneling team.
Enes Kanter went after LeBron one more time on Twitter. The Cavs over the weekend gave up 148 points to his former team, OKC, which is apparently putting it together. And Enes went to Twitter to say, he just threw up the number 148, put up a king emoji, the crown, and strive for greatness, hashtag, which is LeBron's kind of saying, catchphrase right now. And a former OKC teammate told him, hey, man, you're looking for the king to drop 50 on you. Is there a larger disparity in troll to great player ever in terms of talent and prestige, the Enes Kanter to LeBron back and forth? Can you think of a time where a great player was being trolled by?
Yes.
Who?
LeVar Ball and Michael Jordan.
But LeVar doesn't play.
Technically a win.
No, come on.
Doesn't play, he'd beat Michael Jordan.
No,
that's the greatest troll of all time.
Yeah. Right.
But, okay, fine. Inside their respective sports, player to player.
No, because it doesn't happen much.
Player to player.
It has to be, Enes Kanter, because when else does it even happen?
We had Ruben Patterson calling himself the Kobe stopper at one point.
I guess we'd have to think about anyone who calls himself a stopper. Yeah, it's still...
We've got Jalen Ramsey. We're going to win that biznotch.
Well, Jalen's a great player, though.
Yeah, he is a great player. A crappy player trolling a great player.
It makes it even better.
Is there anything out there?
It makes it even better because you can't say anything like, what are you going to, you ain't even playing, Kanter. You're like, I don't care.
I'm going to stop you. I'm sure there is. Somebody's going to think of this. Somebody's going to think of something good.
And the LeBroners are going to start crying. Like, you know you can get into their skin so easily.
All you have to do is say. Wait a minute. Austin Rivers with the entire Rocket team?
Yeah, but that's still Enes Kanter.
What about Lance Stephenson and LeBron?
But Lance Stephenson played valuable minutes.
How about Deshaun Stephenson and LeBron way back when?
Even Deshaun was... That's a pretty good one, too. But even Deshaun... But that wasn't the level of... Twitter takes it to another level. It allows you to take it to another level. You came up with the best one. John came up with the best one. Oh, this guy who couldn't even do anything in major college basketball said he could beat the greatest player ever. Nothing can top that.
But LeVar's lane is troll. I mean, Enes Kanter, for obviously all the stuff he does on the floor or doesn't do on the floor, the only person he decides to go after is LeBron. And all that stems from when LeBron said the Knicks should have drafted Dennis Smith Jr. as opposed to Frank Nicotina, whatever the draft. That's where it all comes from.
Well, that's okay. These guys hold grudges a long time in sports, obviously.
And that's the three. Right there, here on ESPN 97.5. All right, take a break. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
At 8:33, ESPN 97.5. Learned a couple of things during the break. Number one, there was no water in the bathroom, Dell. It was one of those, the brown water's coming out when it's spitting out. I guess they had to turn the water off.
That means water been turned off, yeah.
Yeah, the water had been turned off and it was brown stuff spitting out. That's a bad thing, but I waited and waited. Nate Griffin didn't really wait. He just left without washing, I think. So there was that. And then Trey says that Danica Patrick apparently is going to crash now because she's with Aaron Rodgers.
That's... Is she still racing?
She got a sponsor. She got a sponsorship in NASCAR.
Oh, so she's back.
Yeah. According to Trey, she got sponsored in NASCAR. Trey's in there. And but he thinks she's going to crash now.
He said it's for one race, he yelled. She's got a sponsor for one race.
Oh, that's
for
it?
For the Daytona 500, Trey? For the Daytona 500.
She got a sponsor for one race? The Daytona, boy, that's a lot of confidence.
Trey,
in her.
If you're going to be yelling, you might as well come into the studio and answer some questions.
No.
Trey, come in here.
Daytona and the Indy, apparently, are the races she sponsored.
Hurry up,
for.
Trey.
So just the two biggest races?
Yeah. And I guess if she does well, maybe they'll continue, but who knows?
The Indy in
Indianapolis.
No, I know, but is it the NASCAR Indy or is it the. The Brickyard, or is it?
He said the Indy.
No, she's an Indy racer.
Yeah, she's an Indy car driver.
Here, come here, Trey.
But
it's a NASCAR question, so we got to check. Yeah.
So she's got sponsorship for just two races, Trey.
Yeah, she has sponsorship for the Daytona 500 and the Indy 500.
Who is it?
GoDaddy.
Oh yeah,
GoDaddy's back.
Yeah, GoDaddy. But why do you think she's going to crash?
Because she always does.
How many wins does
she
have?
Because she's a woman driver.
How many NASCAR wins does she
have? Zero.
How many
top five she has?
No, she won in Japan. How many
top fives? Zero.
But she won in Japan.
That was IndyCar.
Yeah.
And everybody who was at the race, all her main competition were like across the world in Australia. So.
And they were Japanese. They're Asian drivers, right, Trey?
No. There was like one or two, but like... She's not good. She's not good at racing.
You think because she's not good because she's a woman driver?
No,
and she actually goes
good.
The wrong way.
Can I
on
ask
the
you
track.
A question?
Go ahead.
What race has she ever won?
She only won Japan, and she led four laps at Indy one year, and everybody was like, "Oh my god, she led four laps! Oh my god, I need new pants."
That sounds like your dad, Trey. Do an imitation of your dad.
You want me to do an imitation? Okay. Hey.
Did you think Trey's dad would sound like that?
Wait, I want to hear this.
Hey, son, you're doing great. I heard you on the Blitz yesterday. You're kicking ass. Keep it up, son. You'll be in NASCAR one day.
What does that mean? You'll be a NASCAR driver? Because I'm just gonna be honest. You don't look like a driver of NASCAR. Well,
no, he's gonna be.
I mean, Tony Stewart was about the same size as me.
Was he though?
He won three championships.
I don't. Are you going to be a driver or are you going to be
no,
a commentator?
I'd like to be a commentator.
You're going to be like, I think, I have a feeling like if Trey ever did get a shot at the national level, he'd have like a Ken Bone thing going on.
No,
you
Trey
know, where
would
everyone would love him.
Trey would kill.
Trey would kill.
No.
Trey would kill.
Trey would kill if he were on a NASCAR circuit. Now, not ESPN where people like you need to be on Fox Sports 1. Like, you got to be an off-brand a little bit.
ESPN doesn't really cover NASCAR. Not since, like, 2012, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. Trey...
Yeah,
so,
but they got Brad Daugherty. He was covering. He was doing it.
Yeah, but they don't really talk about it as much. They only talk about it on SportsCenter every now and
that's
again.
That's why they had, what's his name, Smith. Like, who's the guy
Marty
who now?
Smith.
Marty Smith.
Marty Smith went from being NASCAR guy to college football guy.
Well, and he has to throw with every quarterback in college football.
Well, he's got his vest on.
Well, yeah. But I don't want to see Marty Smith throw anymore. I don't care
Marty
if he
Smith
can throw.
Marty Smith shows up everywhere. I was at Clemson, Florida State, and there was Marty just like... walking around waiting for people to talk to him. Like, you know who I am? I'm Marty Smith.
But here's the deal is, Trey, I didn't think your dad would sound like that,
no,
though.
No, well...
Hey, son, I think you're going to do great things.
He sounds exactly like I do, but just with a slightly deeper voice.
He does?
And more of a twang.
Like how many this. Brothers and sisters do you have?
I have two. I have one sister and one
sister
brother.
And one brother.
And how old is the brother?
I'm practicing my Trey.
My brother's like... 13. Yeah.
Is he a NASCAR aficionado too?
No, he plays baseball.
He does?
Yeah. He's going to be like.
You know what he could do? He could be. Remember how. You know how on ESPN College Game Day they got that guy Bear who knows all the facts
and
everything?
That's him.
That's him. He's NASCAR version
yes.
of that. Yes. Like, you probably aren't going to be on camera a lot, but when they do finally put
you
on after 3 or 4 years, people are going to go. Oh my God! This guy's
it's
you're
the
gonna
greatest.
Have memes of
no.
There's gonna be Trey.
He's
memes.
Gonna be the he's gonna be a long lasting
more
Ken Bone.
More famous, Raheel, Dell, or Trey. In 10 years.
Dell.
Trey. Trey will be the most famous person of
more famous than
of anyone you know
than Dell.
No,
Del's more famous
like,
than Dell.
More famous than Raheel.
Superstar.
I'm gonna go with Trey on this one. More famous, Trey or Nick Wright?
Oh, Nick's getting a lot of fame because
I'm going with Trey.
He's getting retweeted a lot for I'm going to say something about the flag.
Do you think if Nick ever got arrested, they'd read him his rights?
Why do you ask that?
That was a dumb question because his last name.
Oh,
watch out, moms!
That was really stupid. It was a bad joke.
Blasted you with a dad joke.
He's playing dad joke on you right now.
Yeah,
and you can't do that and be famous, Trey. Okay,
no, don't do that, Trey. Your thing has
to be. I hope he wears the Ducks hat too.
Yes, that's even better.
I
or your Charlotte Hornets hat. No, what was
I
got to
tweet
a
picture of you, Trey, with your Ducks hat.
I had a Rockets hat.
Yeah, but what did you told there. Like you traded something for a hat? What was your deal?
Well, I was playing Monopoly with my friend Cody Cruz. His uncle owns Pete Fine's Meat or Pete's.
Oh
Fine's
yeah,
Michael.
And we were playing Monopoly. And I was like, I'll trade you Atlanta.
1994 Daytona, second place.
Let me think. I think that would be Dale Earnhardt.
I'm trying to throw him off the
second?
Thing.
Yeah. Dale Earnhardt.
Yeah, Dale Earnhardt finished
who
second.
Who won it?
Oh, no, wait. It was Ernie Irvin.
He who finished won second?
It was Sterling Marlin. It was his first career win. He also won the year after in 1995 as well.
He won 94 and 95. It was like the Rockets.
Who was
he
the
was
the
Rockets.
Winner? Who was the poll winner?
Loy Allen Jr. He won the pole and then failed to qualify for three races afterwards.
Holy crap, he's right.
That is not true.
Yeah, it is.
Trey.
What was
Loy
the tragedy?
Allen Jr.?
In 1994, Neil Bonnet died.
Sterling Bart.
No.
Second place?
Yeah, that was...
Did you say Ernie Irvin?
Yes, he said Ernie Irvin.
I'm sorry, you're right. Was there a tragedy in this event?
Yeah, Neil Bonnet died in the duel, the weekend, the practice for the duels. And then...
3 days later...
And then Rodney Orr died, too, that year as well. And
he's right. Yeah. Following these injuries, a worried blank gave a lecture calling out the drivers for
over-aggressive... Rusty Wallace.
That's correct.
He was like, I don't like flipping my race car. It hurts.
How old were you in 1994?
He sounds like your dad.
How old were you in 1994?
-1.
So you weren't born, but you know about a guy who gave a lecture about being dangerous on the track.
Yeah.
Why?
How do you know that? Where did you get that?
YouTube? I don't know.
You watch that many YouTube? Oh, how many YouTube racing
you watch
videos
everything
have you watched?
About NASCAR?
Probably, I haven't watched all of them in full length, but I've skimmed through most of them.
Trey is related video guy. And you know what's weird? My son Snacks is basically basketball Trey.
Yeah?
Because he knows all about, because he watched, they get this Mike Korzymbas or something. He's this YouTube guy.
Oh,
like,
yeah, he's great.
Yeah, my son is learning basketball from some YouTube guy. He knows all about basketball history. He tried to argue with me about stuff. I'm like, Snacks, you weren't even remotely even close. I wasn't even with your mom when this happened. What are you trying to argue with me about that?
Because he knows.
He's argued J.J. Watt doesn't deserve to go to the Hall of Fame because he's always injured.
Well,
we got in a huge one the other day where he kind of started to make me mad about something. And he was, God, what was that? It was just 2 days ago he started going in on me. I can't remember who it was. Of course, he also was back in the Ball Brothers for a while. He got full
all right, nonsense. Trey, 1979
Ooh.
Daytona winner.
1979 Daytona 500 was won by Richard Petty. That race was known for the fight between Donnie Allison and Cale Yarbrough.
Wait a minute. What after the after?
It was yeah.
Or
was
during they had
it
a
was
crash
after the race.
After
yeah.
the race,
it was in the back straightaway. That was the race that vaulted NASCAR into popularity.
Why?
Because of the fight.
Do you remember
because
who
of the
finished,
fight.
Do you remember who finished third in that race?
AJ Foyt.
That's correct. Do you remember who finished fifth?
No way.
No.
Oh, thank God.
I just remember the podium finishes.
Oh, okay.
You
so
know,
fourth place
I'm not
is
bothering
where you cut
with
off.
Anybody that's not on a podium. Is
no,
that what you're saying?
That's pretty much pretty much it.
Okay, name the last five guys that drank the milk at the Indy.
No
you want
way
me to name the last five guys who won Indy?
That's what I just said.
Okay, 2017 was Takuma Sato. 2016
Kuna Matata.
Was 2016... Let me think.
Ooh.
This is IndyCar. So
yeah,
no, 2016 was... Rossi, 2015 was 2015 was Ryan Hunter Ray. No, that was 2014. 2015 was... Don't y'all got to go to break?
No. Come on, Trey.
2015. Let me think.
Wow. I didn't think he'd get stumped on something recent.
2015.
But it's Indy. He's told you. He's not
an NASCAR guy. But he's killed Indy in the past.
Yeah, it's IndyCar. Who watches that?
Who watches that crap, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who 2015 was.
Number one, he's a Penske driver.
Oh, Helio.
Nope.
No.
Helio was second. Engine was a Chevy engine.
From Spain.
Juan Pablo Montoya.
Yeah, you're right.
Get out of here. You don't know anything
about
racing.
You don't know nothing. Beat it.
You don't know anything about racing, Trey. I thought you knew
and
racing.
Tony Kanaan.
Tony Kanaan won 2014.
2013.
You're terrible, Trey.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Right.
Let us know if you find an IndyCar expert.
Yeah, hey, start studying your IndyCar before you come back here. Beat it, Trey.
Cale Yarborough was in a fight with us. One time Tony Allison was playing cornhole and got three straight ringers.
What? How do you know that?
During the race?
Yeah.
No, he is unbelievable.
It was known for when Donnie Allison tried to put the good stuff inside of AJ Foyt's wife, and then
wait, what? What happened?
It's racing.
Oh, 8:45. You know what? Hey, will you advise me on some bills?
Well, I would advise you to go to BillAdvisor.com or text bills to 313131. Let me tell you. What they do at Bill Advisor is they take what you are, you know, your recurring monthly bills, and they scour it. And first of all, they find kind of bogus charges because they know what it is. They've dealt with customer retention for years and years. They can then find you other deals with other places, and you can either make the switch over or you use that as leverage. And in most cases, you want to stay with the same company. So they use that as leverage to keep you. And customer service will give you the runaround. Customer retention, which is what you can't get to, customer retention is going to make sure they do whatever it takes to hang on to your business because they don't want to lose your business, especially if you've been a loyal customer for years. And if you've been a loyal customer for years, you're the one who's taken advantage of the most. I was that guy. And if you're one of those people, I can promise you your savings are probably going to be in the thousands when you start dealing with Bill Advisor over the course of 1 year. It's an amazing service. I can't believe I have to continue to tell people because there's no gimmicks here. It's one low monthly fee, and they renegotiate your prices, and it is going to be a chance for you to put money back in your pocket. The average savings is over $800 right now, and in many cases, you get $1,000, $2,000 savings. Home insurance, auto insurance, home security, cell phone, DirecTV, you know, cable, it doesn't matter. All of these can be negotiated with Bill Advisor. BillAdvisor.com or text bills to 313131.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, you know, Trey does have a Captain Chompers vibe, doesn't he? Dell, isn't he almost his voice? No, it's not a combination of Gilbert and Captain Chompers. It's more, it's leaning more toward Chompers.
Trey is never going to be the guy that comes on air and describes doing something to another man's girlfriend.
No.
The way Chompers.
No. He has too much respect for women. Trey does. Remember when we were asking him women questions that one time?
Yeah.
No, I really like women and respect them.
Yeah. He's part of the movement. He was out, by the way, you guys didn't talk to him about this. He was out at the protest this weekend. The women's protest, he was there.
Trey was?
Yeah, with the sign and everything.
Well,
you guys didn't ask him about
that?
No,
we
didn't.
It's
on his Twitter.
No, it's not, really.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
He was out there at Herman Park just letting everybody know that women's rights matter.
I didn't. Did that really happen in this city?
Mm-hmm.
I heard that women were...
Yeah, they were protesting right outside
what,
your...
It's,
if you just looked outside, John...
I wasn't there. I was at Nick's place.
It was on Saturday.
It was on Saturday?
Yeah. You know the
I was playing in the poker tournament all day.
Oh, that's right. You were in All In for ALS.
Yeah.
You know the statue they wanted to take down, the Sam Houston statue, I think. There were women up there holding up signs and everything, and it was it was a good time.
Did everybody have their rifle, their shotguns and rifles out protecting the statue?
I don't know if the come and take it crowd was there.
Yeah, Austin, one of our listeners, he's a big come and take it guy.
Yeah, so that was this week, and I'm surprised you guys didn't ask Trey about it. Trey was there.
We should have asked Trey about it. Trey loves and respects women.
Yeah,
Trey's never, ever, ever going to disrespect
very,
a woman.
He's very open and welcoming to all.
He is. Love that about Trey. Mm-hmm. That's how we are.
Lance, did
here.
You go to the women's protests march?
Yeah, duh.
Or were you busy breaking down film?
Sean Salisbury were watching film for hours.
I've worked for 20 straight days. No, I didn't. Yeah, I had to work even the day I buried my grandma. So, yeah, it was Saturday. I was up here until whatever, 7:30.
I was kind of
It's
too
not
working.
Work if you're having fun, right?
I was working too. There were some clients at this thing.
Yeah, but it's not work if you're having fun.
I was working.
No, it's working.
What?
I was not having fun doing Teron Johnson from Weber State yesterday.
Love him.
I was not having fun doing that.
Where is Weber State?
I was not having fun doing Armani Watts, actually pretty talented from A&M.
Yeah.
A little more talented than I thought. Very athletic.
Didn't I tell you? I actually told Summy that I really liked. I like Armani Watts a lot.
Thing is, he picks and chooses when he wants to tackle effectively. He's missed
business decision.
Not when you're a safety, though. Yeah. That's kind of one of the things you have to do.
Well, no.
Cornerback's okay, but safety's your last line of defense. But he's a great athlete, like really fluid, and he can make jumps on the ball. Like he's got talent. I gave him a pretty decent grade.
What, fourth?
No, I gave him like second, third.
Did you really?
I mean, he's going to run really well.
When I asked somebody about it, he didn't think so. He thought he was more like a fourth or fifth.
Did he?
Yep.
Well, here's the thing. I think the talent is there, and I even say he's feast or famine. Like, he makes some dumb mistakes.
But he makes some plays, too.
He does, but when you're safety, one of the things, safe is part of it. Safeties, that's a name for a reason. Huh. Because you're the last line of defense, and he does things that are not last line of the defensey. But I think that when he gets to the pros, he's going to be – like when you're in a locker room with other dudes, more is expected of you. Grown men who a lot of guys become much – yeah, so all of a sudden that tackling becomes much better, and you just become a better player. But he's a really good athlete. He's not the biggest guy. He's 200 pounds.
No.
Have you done Christian Kirk yet?
Yep. I'm not as high on him as everyone else. About third rounder.
He's a when John and I we talked to him out there in preseason. He's a tiny fella.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's very a slot tiny. Only. He's built like he's stocky, but I thought he's a third or fourth. You can find slot receivers. It doesn't mean I don't like him. I like him, but I'm seeing like Christian Kirk in the first.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who else is on NFL Network, but they gave him a first round.
Daniel Jeremiah put him in the first round of his mock. I had to write up everyone who's in the first round. I had to. Haven't he's
here's
no
the
way.
Thing I'm worried about with sleight of build now is Antonio Brown. I mean, and AJ Bouye. You look at AJ Bouye and you go, well, undraftable, and he's one of the best corners in the game. So I mean,
ball skills. Here's the thing with Christian
and
Kirk.
Christian Kirk has ball skills.
But here's the thing with I was talking about Bouye, but with Antonio Brown, he is elite in terms of short area quickness. Like no one can.
And
stay.
He was a sixth rounder.
Yeah. But he was small. Christian Kirk, to me, does not have that kind of wiggle and explosiveness that Antonio Brown does. I think he's a good route runner. Like, I like him fine. Those guys usually don't get drafted in the first or second round slot receivers. I didn't think he's as explosive as Taywan Taylor, who went second round to the Titans. He might go second round, but to me, he's just going to be a solid slot receiver.
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried about his size, too. I mean, let's not forget, he returns kicks, and he...
I like him.
And, yeah. Slot receivers are making a big smaller slot receivers are making a big impact.
Mm-hmm. I think Christian Kirk, and he's very competitive after the catch. You know, he's a good runner. He plays hard. He's a good route runner. There's a lot to like about him. I don't think he's going to run. I think he's going to run just okay.
Del, are you a little worried about all the little white guys taking over now?
Braxton
like the Amendolas.
He's got one, Braxton Berrios.
Uh-huh.
He's half Puerto Rican. He's just not a white guy.
He's but the mom.
Well, he looks white.
No, actually, Berrios is. That's going to be dad.
When he's when he gets into the league and, you know, like, hey, is he a white guy? But then when the Puerto Rican market starts getting him for ads and stuff, it's going to be Braxton Barrios. He's going to change it up.
Can he speak Spanish, though?
I'm not sure.
So he's a wide receiver from Miami.
Gray hair.
Small, but a good hair guy.
Yeah.
Kind of out, short arms. He's got T-Rex arms. This guy will catch anything that can get to his arms.
Yeah.
If his arms can get to it, he's catching.
Listen, I think white people are going to take him in the draft. Okay.
What draft?
In the racial draft.
Oh, I don't know. I think the Puerto Ricans might have a pick.
I think white people are going to take him first. So, I mean, just like Amendola and Edelman and Renfro and all these guys, he's going to be considered a white little slot receiver.
But to answer your original question, no, I'm not concerned about white people taking over. I don't think about white people.
You just don't think about them.
No. Unless they're in a patrol car.
Just as a listener, like, drive in, you guys make Dell sound like he works on FS1. Like, it's just
am
all
I Nick Wright?
Yeah.
Why are you asking me all these questions?
He doesn't care about race that much.
No.
Yeah, like, everything's... No, it's not. Dell's not an FS1 personality.
Well, kind of.
No. I mean, I don't bring up race. You guys talk to me like I'm supposed to have all the answers.
Yeah. Let's go to the black delegation.
Stephen A. Olale. Okay, we got to go to you on all things race. We got to go to you.
You don't
Del
have
sharp.
You don't have to.
Yeah, we kind of do.
No,
we can't depend on Raheel. He's just going to clown.
What?
Okay, that's all.
You're not serious about the cause, Raheel.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Were you out with the women at Herman Park yesterday?
No.
Okay, you, Trey was.
Well, talk to Trey then. I wasn't out there.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't think Trey gives a good answer on anything racial. If you want to know the truth.
We depend on him for one thing. His lane is NASCAR.
Yeah. Name all the African-American drivers in NASCAR.
He'll nail that.
Like one or two, right?
Are there?
I don't know, but he'll get whatever it is.
In NASCAR?
Yeah.
No way.
No.
Listen.
NASCAR.
One.
What's his name?
Daryl Wallace.
Of course it is.
That doesn't sound.
Daryl Wallace?
Daryl Wallace. Is he from Georgia?
From Alabama.
Well, same.
There's no way.
Same thing.
Hold on.
No.
Of course. What do you?
What do you mean? Are
Trey?
You serious?
Are you questioning Trey?
I can't believe you're like, no way.
No
way. This is the most. This is the thing I've been most sure about ever.
We got to take a break because we're going to have 94.1 join us, and Nate Griffin from Channel 26 is going to join us as well. So we'll be simulcasting on three different stations here in the city of Houston.
Oh, we're killing the game.
Right now, we're talking about hoops, sporting goals, and equipment. It's the best. You're looking for the best hoop. You're looking for the best accessories. The light that you put on top of the backboard, it'll light up the entire driveway for the kids to play at night. Stenciling the driveway, stenciling the pad with your kid's name, Courtney, or Jake, or whatever it, or JT. That's just two letters. Okay. I want, all right, Ashley's court, Blake's court. Yes.
Why can't I have Marshawn on the court?
You can have Marshawn's court. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. But, and here's the deal is don't nail it to the garage because that's weak. And, oh, by the way, we want to raise the goal because that is the most awesome thing about a hoops goal is that you can raise and lower the goal so the kids can actually – that's why Marshawn doesn't need it raised and lowered, but Ashley does, okay? So does Austin. So if you're looking for a great way to get this done, ProDunkHoops.com, ProDunkHoops.com, 281-351-9822. The best hoop in the market. It's not even close. It's hoops. Tell you I'll be fine. Preach on, brother.
ESPN 97.5.